40, if you got your Bible, Isaiah chapter 40. I like Wednesday night Bible study. Isaiah chapter 40. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 40. I want to talk to you about something tonight, you know, and I'm going to use a big word that Preacher Jerry won't even know that I know, because I grew up in Lancaster, South Carolina, and went to school down there. And they say if you graduate from the fifth grade down there at 15, that you finish school. But that's what he says. Amen. But you know, as you read the Bible, you'll see the power of a holy God. And you'll see where He has control of the affairs of mankind. He really does. It may not always look like it, but He does. He has control of the affairs of mankind on planet Earth. The big word is sovereignty. He's sovereign. That means, I looked it up and wrote it down so I could tell you exactly what it's supposed to say, okay? Supreme power or authority. That's what sovereignty means. Supreme power or authority. Free from external control. You got that? That's God. Free from external control. No one or nothing else on planet Earth can say free from external control. Nobody. Nothing can say that. And so God's sovereign. So tonight, if you look at chapter 40, look at verse 13 and 14. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Now He's asking the question, is there anyone that can teach God anything? Is there anyone that can give God counsel? And I got thinking about old Job. Job said it, and I'm going to paraphrase it. But whenever he was arguing with God, you know, God said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world?" Amen. He said, he told Job, he said, "Where were you when I created the heavens?" Amen. God is sovereign. He is free from all outside control. He is supreme in power and authority. There's no one that has more power nor more authority than God Himself. And that's over the whole universe, not just the affairs of men. Amen? So I want to talk to you tonight just for a few minutes about the sovereignty of God. The supreme power or authority of God. I want to talk to you about that. Because, see, for some reason, mankind believes that we can mold and make God into whatever we want Him to be. Amen? People think that. I'll talk to somebody sometime and they'll say, "Well, me and the old man upstairs, we got to understand Him." And I'll say, "No, you don't understand. He's not the old man upstairs. He's God." And I talked to a man one day. He said, "Well, me and the Lord, we've made a deal." I said, "God doesn't make deals. God's supreme in His authority. Nobody can bargain with God. Nobody can make deals with God. God has a covenant with man through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only deal you're going to get." Amen. Because there's no way to get around that. He's supreme in authority. He's free from external control. We can't mold or bend or make God do anything or answer any prayer or anything that is outside of His will already. Now, several times in the Old Testament, you'll see where it said God repented. But what it means is He changed His mind about how He was going to do something. He didn't say that He said He was wrong about how He was doing it. It just said He changed His mind. He was going to do it a different way because somebody intervened. Maybe Moses intervening for the children of Israel. So He needs no advice. He needs no counsel. He needs no help. in any of His work or His decisions. Can I hear amen? You can't help God. You can't give God advice. You can't direct God. Now, you wouldn't know that to hear some of these TV preachers. You know, put your hand on this screen and pray this and send $100, you know. You might can direct their ministry, but you can't direct God. Amen? Amen. I heard this fellow the other day, he was talking, and said he was listening to one of these TV preachers talking about healing. Said, send in this money and whatever you want to be healed over, or either call in and tell us what you want to be healed over, you know. And so he called him, and he got in touch with the guy, you know, and the guy said, the guy really built it up, you know, glory to God, hallelujah, brother. Everything's real good, brother. Glory to God, brother. It's going to be wonderful. What's your prayer request, brother? Hand it to me. We'll take it to the throne of God, and God will answer your prayer. He said, I want to be better looking. He said, what? He said, I want to be better looking. I'm an ugly man. I want to be better looking. He said, well, now, and he said, he him all around that. And then finally he built it all. Well, God can do anything. He can part the Red Sea. He can bring water from a rock. He can make you better looking. He said, okay. He said, so that night I went to bed, and he said, as I was going to bed, I looked in the mirror, and I wasn't no better looking. He said, so I got up the next day, and I thought, well, maybe them old people's right. Maybe they're right. That old guy prayed for me that the Lord would make me better looking. He said, and I passed by the mirror and looked. I wasn't no better looking. He said, so I called up that preacher, and I said, preacher, I'm the fellow that called last night. And the preacher just built it all up, you know, because he's on TV. He said, glory to God, hallelujah. Did God answer your prayer? You know He did. God answered you. Hey, you called to praise God for answering your prayer, didn't you? He said, no, I'm just as ugly as I was when I went to bed last night. He said, that was on television. He said, everybody heard that on television. Amen. But now listen, we can't manipulate God. We can't control God. We can't bend or move God in a different direction than is the will of God. He's sovereign. He's all powerful, and He has no external force that is powerful enough to make Him do anything. Amen? He's God. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not Jesus is my boyfriend, you know. He is an eternal God that is supreme in His position and His power and His sovereignty. So I looked up some examples of that. Isaiah 45, look at it if you will. Isaiah chapter 45, look at verse 9. Isaiah 45, look at verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith to his father, what begattest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, and not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabines, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. there is no God, meaning no other God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Abraham, seek ye me in vain. I am the Lord, speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. In other words, he is unlimited in his control over the history of man and over the nature of planet Earth. He's unlimited in his control. He said, "Shall that pot that was made by a man look at another pot and say, I made you, or can you make another?" And he said, "No, can God be confused about Israel? Can God not raise up people in Israel to defeat the most mighty country, Egypt and the Sabines and all them?" He says, God is unlimited in his power. Look, it doesn't matter who comes against God, whether it's Democrat or Republican, whether it's a communist or atheist, whether it's unbeliever or backslider, no one can control God as he controls the things that he's in charge of, which is the whole planet Earth. Don't worry about climate change. Don't worry about it. God made the earth for who? Man. God made the earth for man. I grew up in a mill town. Some of y'all grew up in mill towns. Do you remember the great big smokestacks putting out that black smoke? They heated with coal. They run their power with coal. If you went down through the mill hill there in Lancaster, Brother Jerry, all those hot houses was heated with little old chunks of coal and wood, and there's a black cloud hanging over the mill hill every morning in the wintertime because they're lighting up the fire and trying to get warm. Some of y'all remember that, don't you? Amen? Boy, England was covered in soot. London was so black they had to burn lights during the daytime. The mining towns up in West Virginia and all up in there, you know, clouds hung over them. But look at them now. Where's all that smoke at? God took care of that because, look, God created the earth. God takes care of the earth. God is sovereign over planet Earth. You can't destroy the earth. You can't do it. Well, what about nuclear bombs? You can't make enough nuclear bombs to blow one hole to the center of the earth. I'm telling you, God's in control. And he used Israel as an example. Just as he took care of Israel with his unlimited power, and he kept things in control when those nations would come against them, God took care of Israel. And he does the same thing with creation. You can't make a tree. Did you know man's never made anything? No, mankind's never created anything, not one thing. Not one thing. Oh, he made automobile. No, he didn't. He took a bunch of dirt and melted it into steel and put it together and called it automobile. He didn't make that. God made that. You say, he made these pews. Man made these pews. No, he didn't. God grew the tree. Man chopped it down and cut it to look like a pew. God made the cotton plant that they made to make the fiber that goes in that cotton filling in that pew. Man ain't never made anything. Mankind doesn't have the power to create nor to destroy. Mankind's never... Look, don't you think that if man was going to destroy the earth, he'd already done it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would. Don't you think if pollution was going to destroy the earth, it would have already done it? Yes, sir. But God's got all these filtering devices. The ocean cleanses our air. Did you know that? The ocean cleanses our air. The trees make new oxygen. Did you know you're drinking the same water that they drank in Moses' day? You never thought about that, did you? Did you know you're drinking the same water that Noah drank? that Adam drank. Did you know the water's never... We're going to pollute the water and ruin the water. No, it goes right back into the earth and it goes right back through the filtering system and we drink it again over and over and over and over. I got a septic tank in my yard. How many of y'all got a septic tank? Would you drink out of a septic tank? No, but if you got a well in a year or two, you're going to be drinking the water that came out of that septic tank, went through those rocks and that ground and went back into the water system down there, and you pumped it back up and drank it again. There's no new water. Some of y'all sitting there with your mouth open like you never thought about that. There's no new water. A hurricane stirs up off the coast of Western Africa. That's where we get all our hurricanes. And that wind starts turning and it starts picking up that ocean water and it picks up billions on billions of gallons of water and they go up in the sky and they're big old giant clouds 150 miles around and that thing will go across the ocean and it'll finally hit here and when it hits us, it'll drop rain, it'll drop water that it picked up off the coast of Africa. You ever thought about that? You can't destroy the earth. God's in control of this earth. The sovereign God created this earth, and He's in charge of it. And to give a good example, He said, look at Israel. I made Israel, and I took care of them. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you, He's unlimited in His control over nature. And even history. I love history. Study history. God's in every bit of history that you'll read on planet earth. God's in it. God's in it. All right? I don't want to make any of you mad, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Listen. You can go to the ancient Indian tribes on the continent of North America, South America, Central America, and did you know that some of them, one of the symbols on their totem poles and stuff is a cross? It is. Did you know they worshipped one God? They didn't worship a bunch of gods? Now, where did they get that from? Because they migrated from Europe, Asia. They migrated from Asia. And it took hundreds of years. And family had kids, and those kids moved on. Family had kids, and they moved on. Family had kids, till they ended up in Lumberton. And they said, hey, they look a lot like Oriental people. That's because that's where their ancestors originated. We all originated out there. Now you listen to me. God's in all history. God's in the history of this country. Did you know you can't destroy this country unless God lets you do it? Somebody says, what do you think about these liberals and these leftists and all that? Let them cry. They've always cried. Let them cry. The God of heaven is in control, and I'll just call on Him. Amen. He'll take care of them. And then look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1. I said God's sovereign in His unlimited power and control over nature and over history. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, look at it with me. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. You got it? Somebody was mumbling. You got it? Ephesians 1:11. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after what? The counsel of the Southern Baptist Convention. The counsel of the Free Will Baptist Association. The Council of the United Pentecostal Holiness Denomination. No, sir. Read it again. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That means eternal life. Being predestined according unto what? The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He is alone when He's working out a plan to save His creation. God was alone working that out. God was alone planning that. God didn't call anybody up and say, uh-oh, I didn't know Adam and Eve was going to sin. How do I fix this? No, sir. Go back and read Ephesians. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, He already predestined not the people, but the plan whereby we could be saved through His Son, Jesus Christ. And did you know He didn't have an opinion poll on that? Did you know they didn't call people on the telephone and ask them how he should do that? That he should ask them how to do it? No, sir. Did you know he didn't have a meeting of the elders and the deacons and the pastors and the presbytery? No, sir. God, who is sovereign, he alone worked by himself a plan to save his creation. He did that all by himself. He didn't. It says it right there. He didn't take counsel. After the counsel of his what? His own will. Now you and I, we need counsel. It might surprise some of you. You don't know everything yet. And sometimes we need advice. We need counsel. Amen. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We ought to get advice.
Amen.
Amen. We're not holy, we're not perfect like he is, we're not all knowing like he is. You know what? There's nobody that qualifies to counsel him.
Amen.
He's sovereign. Let me read you sovereign again. Supreme power or authority, free from all external control. That's sovereign. He's sovereign. Whenever he created man, he knew he'd fall. He knew it. God didn't create Adam and Eve and then go back up to heaven and then one day come down here, Adam, where art thou, Adam? And Adam was high and he stepped out. He didn't say, uh-oh, I didn't know you was going to do that, Adam. He knew what he did before he ever come down here. He knew it before he ever created Adam. Amen? And then you were born, you know. And God didn't look down here and see you and say, uh-oh, I didn't know she was going to be born before the foundation were. He said, before you was ever in your mother's womb, I knew you. See, that's why abortion's wrong. Now, you listen to me. He knew me before I was ever born. I wasn't born, and then I'm going through school, you know, and I get in trouble, and I go to the principal's office, and I get paddled. They don't do that no more, do they? They need to bring paddles back.
Amen.
And then junior high is leather straps. They need to bring them back. Brother Jerry, you know about those, don't you? Amen. I bet you do. Amen. And they need to bring those back. But boy, I'm sitting in the principal's office, and God didn't look down there and say, uh-oh, I didn't know Ronnie was going to end up in the principal's office. No, he knew that before I was ever born. And then one day I start seeking the truth and I start wanting to know, is there a God in heaven? Is there something to this Christianity stuff? Is there something to this Bible stuff? God didn't say, uh-oh, I didn't know he was going to do that. He'd already been putting people in my path to give it to me already, see. And when I went to church and heard the gospel that first time, God didn't say, uh-oh, I didn't know Ron was going to hear the gospel today. No, sir, he knew it. He planned it. He arranged it. He organized it. Now, he gave me the choice, but he presented it to me. Amen? Now, he did that before the world was ever created. He already had that in his plan. Amen? Did you know there's nobody in here that's saved by the grace of God that when you walked down the aisle or you got down on your knees or you cried out to God that day that God didn't... there's nobody here that God looked down to you and said, oh, I didn't know that was going to get saved. He already knew it. Now, it probably surprised your mama. Amen? It probably surprised your daddy. It probably surprised your neighbors and your teachers. Maybe even the preacher. But it didn't surprise God. Hey, he's sovereign. It was already in his plan. He started that plan the day that he laid the foundations of the universe.
Amen.
I was reading yesterday and I read they found a new solar system. Like, didn't nobody know it was out there. That's like when Columbus accidentally landed on the islands off the coast of America. He said, I found something. There was already people living there. He didn't find nothing. But they found these planets, and now they're saying, we believe there's water on them, and where there's water, there might be life. You know they're going to get disappointed again, don't you? As they have every other time. And did you know they already know there's not life there? You know why they do that? They make a living doing that. Have y'all not figured that out yet? They make a living getting government grants, studying planets that you or an eye cannot see, and they couldn't prove they was there if they had to. And we see pictures. You know how they got those pictures? Radio telescopes. Radio, it sends out radio signals. And it bounces back. And they say, oh, that signal come back looking like a planet. They got more faith than I do. Amen? Amen. Look, he is unlimited. He is unlimited. He is alone. He's alone when working out a plan to save his creation. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. Y'all not listening fast enough. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, listen. Once a person is saved, God works his sovereign will in that person so that that person can cooperate with the will of God. It's already God's will. God, listen, God did not make a plan. He didn't have a will, and now all of a sudden he's got to cram you in it. No, sir. God, when you get saved, God, he puts his sovereign will to work in your life. Whatever God wants you to do in his plan, whether you want to do it or not, God's sovereign will, he starts working in your life. And when he starts working, then he makes a way for you to fit into his sovereign will that cannot be changed. That's why the Bible says that the callings of God, they can't be, it's without reproof. Now, listen to me. God's got a will for every life of every person he's ever saved. Amen. A sovereign will. Let me read sovereign. Supreme power, authority, free from external control. His will for your life, the devil cannot change God's will for your life. The devil's not sovereign. He's a created being. Your wife can't change God's sovereign will for your life. Your husband can't change God's sovereign will for your life. Your children, your mother, your father, your grandparents, the government, the president, whoever you want to call, the Pope, no hope in the Pope. They cannot change the will of God in your life. And look, the only person that can... now, you can't change it, but you can deny it and ignore it. I've met people that I knew was called to preach and they wouldn't surrender. And you could tell that God was on them. God was on them. It was God's sovereign will that when he saved them to make a preacher out of them or a Sunday school teacher or something. And they fought with it. You ever heard somebody say this? God called me to preach and I run from him for 5 years and then finally I surrendered. Well, you should have went ahead and surrendered in the first place because that's his will for you. There's not going to be another will for you. You get in that will or you don't get in no will at all, you'll just go to heaven out of the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, God's called me to preach, but I want to play the piano. Well, go ahead and try that. It won't work. Can you see him preaching and me playing the piano? But listen to this. God, in all his supreme power and authority, He is working out his sovereign will in your life, and all you have to do is cooperate. That's all you got to do. When God called me to preach, I told him he was making a mistake. I told him that for about a year, and I kept arguing with him. And then finally I told my pastor I surrendered to preach. And I said, what do I do now? He said, that was my pastoral advice. I'm going to the hospital to visit. You want to go with me? I said, yeah. That's part of it. Yeah, we'll go. But you know what he was saying? It ain't my will you preach. You better talk to God about what you do from here on out. Amen? I got to hurry. Look at Philippians 1:6. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God works his sovereignty to secure everybody who he has predestined in his will. Do you see what he's saying? Most people don't read that verse. They read it, but they don't read it. Look at it again. Being confident, we're confident of this very thing, that he, God, which had begun a good work in you, that's salvation, will perform it. That means he's the one saving you. He's the one keeping you. That's not you. That's God. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until Jesus Christ comes back, God in his sovereign power and his sovereign will, he has saved you. He'll keep you. And he'll present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's all God. Now we'll live for God. We'll try to live right. We'll try to act right and talk right and be right. Amen? But you know what? God has made a deal, not a deal. I used that word a while ago. I shouldn't use that word. God has made it his will to get you to heaven. Amen. Now, I've seen him have to drag people in. You was one of them. Yeah. I've seen him drag people in. But look, if you voluntarily surrender to the will of God and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he makes a promise that he's going to get you to heaven. And Titus 1:2 says, the God which cannot lie, he's going to perform what he started in you. And sometime you may be down, you may be up, you may look like a failure, you may look like a winner. But whatever it is, he is going to finish that good work in you until Jesus gets back. See, that's his sovereignty. See, he's sovereign. Look at it again. He's supreme power or authority, free from external control. That means you can't control him either, even though you're saved and you're a child of God. You can't control him. You can't tell God what to do. Now, he's going to work out his will in your life, Brother Ron. And sometimes we don't like it. Amen? Sometimes we're disobedient children. We don't like it. And God is not going to stop because he's not influenced by your outside influence. He's not influenced by me and you. Amen. And he's going to say, I made a promise and I'm going to keep it. Whether you like it or not, you're going to heaven. I may have to kill you early and take you on. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Amen. He's chasing his children. And he said, that's why some of them sleep. They're already dead. You're trying to tell God what to do. You're trying to change God's will. He saved you. He's going to keep you. He's going to present you. You can't change that. You might as well give in to the grace of God and just ride it on in. Amen. Amen. God works his sovereignty to secure the ones that he saves. He'll move China, he'll move mountains, he'll move people, he'll do whatever he has to do to make sure that you get to heaven. Thank you. Now that's his sovereignty. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Now, we shouldn't attempt to tell God what to do. I mean, we should never... 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. We should never attempt to tell God. Look, he said, bring your wants and your petitions. He didn't say bring your demands. He said, call, I'll answer. He said, I'll supply you every need. I'll take care of you. But he never told us that we could demand or tell him what to do. He's sovereign. And he'll do what he wants to. You ever heard this? There'll be a hurricane or a tornado or a great disaster. And of course, Bible believers like you and I, we know that God's in the whirlwind sometimes. There's not a whirlwind that comes through that God didn't let it. Amen? He's in control of creation. He hadn't turned it loose. And we'll say that. And people look at us and say, I can't believe you said that. But God would kill all those people. Whoa, I don't have a mean God. My God never would do that. You ain't ever read the Bible. You ain't never read the Bible. God sent a plague and killed 6, 7, 8, 10,000 in one day. Several times Moses and Aaron had to run before God and beg Him, stop, stop, Lord, you're going to kill them all. That's what He said. You're going to kill them all, Lord, stop. Amen. God came to David one day. David got out of the will of God. He said, what you want me to do? He said, I'm going to give you some choices. I can send a plague for a few days, or I can kill exactly this amount of people, or you can have a famine for this, I can't remember exactly the amount of years. I was reading it the other day. And David said, well, I think I'll take the plague and depend on God's mercy. And God sent a plague, and thousands of them died that day. And God considered what He was doing, and He had mercy on the children of Israel. Because David didn't give him a set date or a set amount. He said, God, just have mercy. Send the plague, but have mercy. He was going to send an invading army in there, and that invading army was going to kill so many. David said, just send the plague. And God killed thousands upon thousands. Now, let me tell you something. The sovereignty of God has never asked for the advice of mankind. You see, we've lost that. Churches have lost that. Therefore, the fear of God's gone. You take the sovereignty of God out, and the fear will go with it. See, we've made Him into a little namby-pamby. God loves. And God does love, but He hates too. He's a just God. You can't, I preached on it the other day, you got to have hate. If you got love, there's some things you have to hate. Amen. God's a just, holy God. God's a sovereign God. But man, including religious people, have brought God down to the level of some feeble old man sitting on a rocking chair somewhere. That's where we brought him down to. But I've got news for you. When God decides to show His sovereignty, people will know it. Amen. And He does sometimes. He'll send a hurricane, wipe out a whole state. I remember when Hugo came through here. What year was that? You know, it was 88. I was working at Piedmont Distribution, and I was working a second shift. Well, I was working two shifts that day, but after the second shift, 11 o'clock. But all during that day, people said, hurricane's coming. I said, this is Rock Hill, South Carolina. There ain't never been a hurricane here. There ain't no hurricane going to make it all the way up here. I mean, I've seen them come up to Columbia. That's about as far as they could make it, and then they just phase out, you know. I said, we'll probably get a little wind and a lot of rain, you know. So I get in my car, and the rain is just drenching as I drive home. It's just pouring down in buckets, you know. And then the farther I got, the more the wind got. And then finally I got home, lived over here, and my wife and kids were already in bed. I said, the wind was up to about 50 miles an hour then, just blowing everywhere. And Brother Jerry, I looked at my wife was in bed. I went in there and said, what are you doing in the bed? She said, I'm sleeping. I said, where's the kids? She said, they in the bed too. I said, don't you know there's a hurricane coming? I said, it's already blowing things down the street. I saw a car hood a while ago go down the street. She said, well, I can't do nothing about it. I said, don't you think we'll stay up and do something? She said, what are we going to do? I don't know. My aunt used to live in Wilmington. She said, crack the windows on the back side of the house and leave them closed on the front so your roof don't blow off. She said, go do that. I'm going to go back to sleep. I pulled me a chair up to the front door. I had an old cheap storm door, you know. You could about, you know, just thump that thing off. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching things fly down the street. It's like the Wizard of Oz, you know. She was in that thing. Things just flying down the street. Then my power went out. I got up and looked out the back door, and we had a trampoline back there, one of the big trampolines. The wind had done picked it up off the ground and took it over the power lines, and as it went over the power lines, it broke the power lines, and it went on down to a neighbor's house and landed in the yard on its side, and it lay in there shaped like an egg. I sat there a little while, and my back porch wasn't, those little old back porches wasn't about that wide. Yet. That thing went, shoo. I was praying, Lord, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. My wife was in there sleeping. She was sleeping. See, she grew up Presbyterian. They taught her about the sovereignty of God. Amen. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know God was in the wind, you know. Listen, supreme power. God, hey, God sent that hurricane up here. We need to be reminded that God can reach York County, South Carolina. It went on up into the mountains. It went on up in, we went up in North Carolina Mountains. Trees was down everywhere up in North Carolina Mountains. That's God, see. That's God. That thing started off the coast of Africa. It went all the way to North Carolina Mountains. People died. Property was destroyed. So whole cities were, we didn't have power for 2 weeks. All kinds of things happened. Now, we prayed. And Lord, let us live. But you know, he didn't stop that hurricane just because we was praying. First Timothy 4:10, though, he says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. We labor and suffer because we trust." Now, his sovereignty is never seen as taking away our free will. Never. His sovereignty is not seen as taking away our free will. Or seen as to replace the responsibility of us to make choices. There used to be something, and some of y'all might remember them. Primitive Baptists. How many of y'all remember Primitive Baptists? I'm talking about the real ones, not this crowd that runs around. Primitive Baptists were Calvinists. They believed some people was born saved and some people was born lost, and you couldn't change that. You couldn't get saved if you weren't meant to get saved, and if you was meant to get saved, you was already saved. You might not have realized it yet, and one day you'll wake up and say, "I'm saved." They took away the free will of man. Therefore, they've died as a denomination. They didn't believe in Sunday school. Wasn't no need for it. Why would you need Sunday school? I mean, whatever will be. You know, you can't change nothing, no matter how much you learn. You know, it's going to be whoever's going to heaven is going to heaven. Whoever's going to hell is going to hell. You got no choice in it. There's no free will. Well, but let me tell you something. They're dead wrong. Now, God's sovereign. He's all-powerful. No outside sources control him. But he gives us a choice, and we make decisions because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, he's sovereign. He didn't have to do that. But nobody convinced him to do that. He convinced himself to do that. But don't think just because God's sovereign that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's not true. God gives you a free will, and he gives you choices to make. And there are reactions, and there's results to every choice, and there's results to every responsibility that God gives to us. So don't you just sit around and say, "Well, ain't no need for me to do nothing. God's sovereign. I can't change his mind." No, but there's already some things you ought to be doing that he's already got in his will. Now, God's sovereign. He needs no help in saving me or keeping me or presenting me. So, you know what we'll do? Instead of, he told Paul, he said, "Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? you know, had that ox goad. That's what they call them. It was a stick with pricks on the end, and you just pop that old ox in the hind end, he'd take off. Well, the Lord was goading him, but he wasn't going where he wanted him to go. He was kicking against him. He said, why you kick against the pricks? He said, well, who are you? You know, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then that's when he accepted Christ and he got in the will of God, and God used him as one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. A man that was against the will of God, against the sovereignty of God, but he surrendered to the will of God. And, hey, listen, he made the right choice so he could be saved and God could use him. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? That's where we all are today. Now, you don't have to get saved. He's not going to make you get saved. He gave you free will. He gave you choice. You don't have to live for God. I mean, if you want to get a whipping every other day, that's fine. God will whip you. He'll mind whipping you. He loves you. He'll whip you. So let me ask you something. Are you treating God like some old grandpa, or are you treating him as the sovereign God that he is? That's the one you'll stand before one day. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.